Last week was not, or last month was not good for the Muslim world. A lot of bad public relations. Hamas, Hezbollah. They had the riot in front of City Hall in Calgary. I wasn't there when the girl was beat up, but I was there the next week. And I was part of the Jewish counter demonstration. The Arabs have had an awful lot of bad publicity this last little while. And so what they tried to do for some damage control... Okay. In Calgary, October 2nd, they had rented the Jubilee Auditorium, and I understand they did the same thing in Edmonton. And they had a movie, Muhammad, the Astonishing Story of the Prophet. They're trying to do damage control. Muslims will tell you that they worship the same God as the Christians and the Jews. And we're going to take a look at that tonight. This should actually, I should actually have done them the other way around. Should have done the first message for this last message first. But this is the way we've got it written down. So Christians are told to test the prophets. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, Muslims claim that Muhammad is the last prophet. Now, I hope that you are an honest skeptic. I am an honest skeptic. If you're an honest skeptic, you have to come with the approach, maybe Muhammad really is a prophet of God. You've got to consider that as a possibility, but you must consider it as an honest skeptic. So, we have to apply the prophet test. There is a true prophet of God. And the true prophet of God in Deuteronomy chapter 18 said, if a prophet speaks something and it does not come to pass, we are not to fear that prophet. A real prophet will tell the truth. If a prophet doesn't tell the truth, he is a false prophet. So we are going to apply the prophet test to Muhammad. Now the Jesus test was, you shall know them by their fruits. Does Muhammad pass the prophet's test? Let us examine the verse upon which Islam, one of the two key verses on which Islam is built, one of them is Allah has no son. Actually, what you're going to see in the next few minutes is the actual verses I used witnessing to a Muslim man on the internet, who didn't like a tract that I gave him, and he basically said, Islam and Christianity worship the same God, and I challenged him. And so we're going to go through this and apply the prophet test. Surah 23:31. Never has God begotten a son, nor is there any other God beside him. Now, this would seem to contradict a verse in the New Testament. Now, in John 3:16, if you had an Arabic Bible, it would read, for Allah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Arabic Bible used Allah as the name of God. Now we've got a problem. Allah gave his only begotten son, and Allah has no son. Allah is either mixed up, Or we have two different Allahs. The Allah of the Bible and the Allah of the Quran. So here is the debate. And so the Muslim man challenged me to provide one verse in the Bible that said Jesus was the Son of God. And here's what he wrote something like this on the email, that he had talked with several Christian clerics, and not one of those Christian clerics could stand up to his infallible argument. So he challenged me to provide one verse in the Bible that declared Jesus was the Son of God. He said, there is nothing in the Bible. So, I pointed out the angel Gabriel called Jesus the Son of God. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Gabriel must be suffering from dementia because Gabriel told Muhammad that Allah has no son. But he told Mary that he shall be the Son of the Highest. The disciples called Jesus the Son of God. Remember, they were on the boat and the waves were terrible, and Jesus rebuked the ocean or the sea. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Peter called Jesus the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He also said in Matthew 16:16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this should have been a teachable moment. If Peter had been mistaken, this should have been a time for Jesus to say, Peter, you're mistaken. Allah has no son. But what did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus commended Peter for calling him the Son of the living God. Oops. Mark called Jesus the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist called Jesus the Son of God. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Nathanael identified Jesus as the Son of God. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Martha declared that Jesus was the Son of God. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. The Apostle John recorded that Jesus was the Son of God, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch called Jesus the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul preached that Jesus was the Son of God, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Muslim man was forced to acknowledge that maybe the Bible did really call Jesus the Son of God. But he challenged me to show one verse that indicated that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. You can't show any verse where Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. So I replied, first of all, that his enemies crucified him for claiming that he was the Son of God. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. That was his enemies. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. So certainly the enemies of Jesus acknowledged that Jesus called himself the Son of God. But then we have this record in John chapter 9. Jesus heard they cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, that's the blind man, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Oh, Jesus said he was the Son of God to the blind man. Or in John chapter 10, during the holiday of Hanukkah, Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God? So I said, there's four verses that indicate Jesus said he was the Son of God. Well, show me one verse where God acknowledges Jesus to be the Son of God. Okay, let's see if I can find them. How about Matthew 3:17, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark 1:11, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Luke 3:22, a voice from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Or Matthew 17:5, and behold a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Luke 9:35, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Mark 9:7, this is my beloved Son, hear him. So somewhat reluctantly, he had to acknowledge that maybe the Bible did teach that God called Jesus his Son. But nowhere does God call him his begotten Son. Show me one verse in the Bible where God calls Jesus my begotten Son. So I gave him two. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. And Hebrews 5:5, he said unto him, thou art my Son. This day I have begotten thee. And then I pointed out that the resurrection confirmed that Jesus is the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, unable to twist the Bible that defends Muhammad's claim that Jesus is not the Son of God, the Muslim's only defense was to question my understanding and interpretation of the Bible. He ended the conversation with the following email. Larry, you have belied your own scripture. Thanks for your time. Please don't waste mine anymore. Your lack of proper scriptural knowledge and understanding thereof. His reply, Larry, you don't know the Bible. After I give him all those verses. Now, as an honest skeptic, I have to accept the fact that the Lord, the prophets, the Lord, the angel, the Gabriel, his enemies, and God were all wrong. That's a possibility. They're all wrong. They were false prophets, and Muhammad was right. I've got to accept that possibility. But I must also consider the possibility maybe Muhammad was wrong and all these other people were right. So let's take another look at one of Muhammad's important teachings. Jesus did not die on the cross. And for claiming that they killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of God, in fact, they never killed him. They never crucified him. They were made to think that they did. All factions who are disputing in this matter are full of doubt concerning this issue. They possess no knowledge. They only conjecture for certain. They never killed him. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's a possibility. Perhaps Muhammad was perishing, and so the whole story of the cross was foolishness to him. Once again, Muhammad's declaration contradicts what was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets who spoke about how the Messiah will be pierced. Zechariah 12:10, and I will spear upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Psalm 22:16, for dogs compassed me, The assembly of the wicked enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That was prophesied by the prophet David, who Muslims consider to be a prophet of God. Jesus himself foretold that he would die on the cross. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and shall kill him. The third day he shall rise again. So the prophet Jesus said, I'm going to be killed, crucified, and rise on the third day. The early church built their belief on the resurrected Jesus. Doubting Thomas, unless I shall see his handprint in the nail and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand on the side, I will not believe. 8 days later, Jesus appeared. Then he said to Thomas, reach thither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, and keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, according to Scripture, and that he was seen by Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, all of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Josephus, who was not a Christian, said this. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. He was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again on the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these, and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians so named from him are not extinct at this day. Once again, as an honest skeptic, I could say the first century Christian witnesses, the Old Testament prophets, and our Lord was mistaken. And Muhammad, who lived 6 centuries after these events, he is correct. As an honest skeptic, I have to say, we would have to take a look at that. But one of the things I like to use with not only Muslims, but also other honest skeptics and dishonest skeptics, when they say, show me, prove me that Jesus actually rose from the dead, I say, I'm in Jewish ministries. Do you know how hard it is for a Jewish man or a woman to receive the Lord? They are stiff-necked and rebellious. Something happened 2,000 years ago that caused tens of thousands of Jewish people to abandon rabbinic Judaism and embrace Christianity, and the church was born. They were willing to die in the lion's dens, willing to be burned alive. What was it that caused those tens of thousands of Jews to be willing to die for this new faith? It was the resurrection from the dead. I don't know if any honest skeptic would be able to deny that something miraculous had to happen 2,000 years ago. for that many Jews, that many Greek philosophers, to abandon everything they believed and willing to die for what they believed was a resurrection from the dead. But perhaps the reliability of Muhammad as a prophet could be determined by the examination of some of his teachings. Muhammad said, Allah created Adam, making him 60 cubits tall. Did you know Adam was 90 feet tall? He would have probably been a little bit taller than the grain elevators you used to have here. The Apostle of Allah said, when any of you awakes from sleep and performs ablution, he must clean his nose 3 times, for the devil spent the night in the interior of his nose. And by the way, Muslims take this seriously. They wash out their nose in the morning. Muhammad said, a non-Muslim eats in 7 intestines, while a Muslim eats in 1 intestine. I have coming out to work a former Muslim, because he must have been born with 1 intestine and now he must have 7 intestines. That might be something good to ask a Muslim doctor. Is it true that you have 1 intestine and I have 7 intestines? Muhammad said, I have 7 intestines. Was Muhammad a false prophet? People should avoid lifting their eyes toward the sky while supplicating in prayer, otherwise their eyes would be snatched away. Don't you dare pray with your eyes open up towards heaven, or God's going to snatch out your eyes. If a fly falls into a vessel of any of you, let him dip all of it into a vessel, then throw it away. For in one of its wings there is a disease, and the other wing there is healing. So next time a fly lands into your soup, don't worry about it, because one wing is diseased and the other one will heal you. When he reached the setting of the sun, he found it set in a pool of murky water. You thought the sun set on the other side of the horizon. No, it sets in the murky water. The prophet ordered them to go to the herd of camels and drink their milk and urine. If one sleeps and does not offer prayer, Satan urinates in his ears. Yawning is from Satan. Don't any of you dare yawn during this message, or I'm going to accuse you of being demon-possessed. Okay, women, hide your eyes. Men, you can all smile at this. Now, Muhammad wasn't wrong with everything he said. Oh, women, give alms as I have seen the majority of the dwellers of hellfire were you women. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you. Or how about this? While I was in Mecca, the roof of my house was open, and Gabriel descended, opened my chest, and washed it with Zamzam water. Then he brought a golden tray full of wisdom and faith and poured its contents into my chest, and he closed it. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is called the daughter of Imran, Abraham, the father of Moses. Did you know that Mary is the sister of Moses, according to the Quran? Historically, Mary was born 1,400 years after Moses. In Surah, Haman appears with Moses and Pharaoh. Haman lived 1,000 years after Moses. The Quran says the Samaritans helped build the golden calf. But the Samaritans were descendants of the children of Israel and the Assyrians. Their race started 700 years after Moses. Under the influence of Satan, Muhammad told his followers it was okay to worship the daughters of Allah. Allah has no son, but you know He has three daughters. Have you considered Lat and the Uzza and the Manat, the third and the last? These are the exalted intermediates whose intercession is to be hoped for. Muhammad said that that was okay for the people to worship the daughter of Allah. Then Gabriel confronted Muhammad and said, "What have you done? You've been under the influence of Satan." These are the satanic verses. Under the influence of Satan, Muhammad said it's okay to worship the daughters of Allah. Oh, you know what the seal of Muhammad to be a prophet is? He had a mole on his back. Oh. Now, here is the proof that I am a prophet of God. That's a close-up of a mole on my back. I have the same credentials as Muhammad. You better listen to me. I've got a mole on my back, and there's a picture to prove it. Muhammad is not the father of any men, but he is the apostle of Allah, and the seal of the prophet rests upon him. I stood behind Allah's prophet and saw the seal of prophethood between his shoulders, and it was like the Zir al-Hijjah, the size of a button on a small tent or a partridge egg. He had a mole on his back, and that's how we know Muhammad had the seal of a prophet. What about the Jesus test? What do we learn when we study the fruit of the prophet Muhammad? One would expect the true prophet to obey God's commandments. Allah told Muhammad that men are allowed to marry four women. And if you fear that you cannot act equitably towards orphans, then marry such women as seem good to you, 2, 3, and 4. Muhammad, those are the wives and the concubines of Muhammad. Depending on your source, either the first 9 or the first 16 were his wives. The last 4 women were neither wives or slaves, but devout Muslim women who gave themselves to satisfy Muhammad's sexual desires. I've asked some Muslims. They've got very upset with me. In fact, one threatened to kill me. Phoned me up on the phone. He was a convert from Christianity to Islam. And he was trying to convince me Muhammad was a true prophet. I said, "I will convert to Islam if you will answer 3 questions. Question number 1. According to the Quran, how many women can you marry?" He said, 4. I said, "Correct." Question number 2. How many wives did Muhammad have? He said, 9. I said, "Some people say that, some sources say 16. But I'll take your 9. Question number 3. Was Muhammad a hypocrite for not obeying the command of Allah? And he started to curse and swear and said he was going to kill me. And Muhammad didn't obey the commands of Allah. The women had to keep their tents closed whenever Muhammad was around. Muhammad himself was one of the men who was unable to control their lust upon looking at women. Once he visited the home of Zayd, his adopted son, and there saw Zaynab, Zayd's wife, half naked. Muhammad's obvious desire for the woman eventually led to the divorce of Zayd from his wife, and shortly thereafter, Muhammad married her himself. In a year, the messenger married Zaynab of Jash, Allah's messenger came to the house of Zayd, son of Muhammad. Perhaps the messenger missed him at that moment. Zayd's wife rose to meet him. She was dressed only in a slip. She jumped up eagerly and excited the admiration of Allah's messenger. So he turned away murmuring something that could scarcely be understood. However, he did say overtly, "Glory to Allah Almighty who causes hearts to turn." So Zayd went to Muhammad, "Prophet, I've heard you came to my house. Why didn't you go in? Perhaps Zaynab has excited your admiration, so I will leave her."
Good advice.
Muhammad had a history of cutting off heads of anyone who didn't give the women that he wanted. So Zayd, wanting to save his wife, said, I no longer interest in Zaynab. When Muhammad was in his 50s, he married a 6-year-old girl. Alisa reported, "Allah's apostle, may peace be upon me, married me when I was 6 years old, and it was admitted to his house when I was 9 years old." Some Muslims get very upset when some Westerners say that maybe Muhammad was a pedophile. You know, if you marry a girl, because you know in the West, if a man in his 50s were to marry a 6-year-old girl, we call that pedophile. But in Islam, that means he's a prophet. The prophet married her when she was 6 years old, and he consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old. Then she remained with him for 9 years until his death. Muhammad was not a prophet of peace, but used violent warfare to loot the possessions of his enemy. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, was a man of war. He taught his followers to fight for his new religion. He said that their God, Allah, had commanded them to take up arms, and Muhammad, no armchair general, fought in numerous battles. By the way, if you can get a hold of the book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, Friends of Israel has some copies. I sold all of them in Regina, so I didn't have any to bring here, but it's in our catalog. Tremendous book. Muhammad did not have a sense of humor. An old man watching the Muslims bow down to the ground, touch the ground with the dirt, as a symbol of their devotion to Allah, this old man said, "Ah, I don't have to do that." He reached down and smeared his forehead with dirt on his forehead and said, "That's good enough for me." He was beheaded. Muhammad had no sense of humor. Did Jesus and Muhammad teach the same things? Let's take a look. "You have heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Fight and slay the infidels wherever you find them. Seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The punishment is execution, crucifixion, or cutting off of hands and feet from the opposite side, or exile from the land. But I say, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever has killed an enemy as proof of that will possess his spoils. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Prophet said, if a Muslim discard his religion, kill him. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So wherever you find them, those who leave Islam, kill them. For whosoever kills them shall have reward on the day of resurrection. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Allah made the Prophet wealthy through conquest. Ye worship not what you know, for salvation is of the Jews. We say to them, the Jews be as apes, despised and hated. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found them, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. Never has God begotten a son, nor is there any other God beside him. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and scourge him, spit upon him and kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. And when they were to come together, they asked him, say, "Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He said to him, "Is not you to know the times of the season, which the Father put in his own power? The hour of resurrection will not arrive until you fight the Jews, until a Jew will hide behind a rock or a tree, and the rock or tree will say, 'O Muslim, servant of Allah, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him.'" How did Muhammad die? Here is the story from Arab sources. "Verily, a woman of the Jews of Ka'ibar presented poisoned meat of a goat to the Apostle Allah. He recognized that it was poisoned, so he sent for her and asked her, 'What induced you to do what you have done?' She replied, 'I thought if you were a prophet, Allah will inform you, and if you are a pretender, I shall relieve people of you.'" And he was relieved of the people. This may be a clue to why the Muslims hate the Jews. It was a Jewish lady who poisoned him in retaliation for what he did to the Jews at Calabar. They slaughtered the Jews. She poisoned him. What about Jesus? How did he die? "After 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Muhammad was a sinner. "I say, O Allah, set me apart from my sins as the east and the west are set apart from each other, and cleanse me from sins as a white garment is cleansed of dirt." Jesus, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, "let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but was on all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Jesus has the power to save souls. "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life."